Welcome to the Propulsion Swimming Podcast, where we aim to give swimming the coverage and publicity it deserves. Every week, we celebrate the sport we love with amazing special guests and topics from around the swimming pool. And now, here are your hosts, Scott and Dan.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Propulsion Swimming Podcast. I hope you're all doing well. Dan, me and you, it's time to breathe. Trials is over. We've had a very busy week, haven't we?
I tell you what, it has been completely manic, and actually, it's been well worth it with our live streams, and thank you very much to anyone who is listening in. We enjoyed it. We thoroughly enjoyed it, didn't we? And we'd happily do it again.
Yep. So for this week's show, we are kind of recapping on the British trials that we previewed, a very big preview, in the last podcast we did 2 weeks ago. Amazingly, it's been 2 weeks, Dan. It has flown by. There's been so much kind of top quality swimming, not just able body side, the para side as well. That kicked things off with a massive bang. There were British records galore. That was a really, really good meet up in Sheffield.
Honestly, it was the highest standard I think I can remember now. I mean, so many British records going. Lyndon Longhorn has to be mentioned because I think pretty much every race he entered, he put a British record. Just awesome swimming, really. And not just him. I mean, there's many others that we could talk about. Tully Kearney was also very good. Jordan Catchpole, those sort of swimmers. You know, Rhys Dunn actually has to be mentioned. First British person to be under a minute for 100 backstroke, which is outstanding. I mean, we could list so many names. It was such a good 4 days of para swimming, and then it led straight into the able body side, which just carried on that amazing form.
I was going to say one question: British trials, how good?
Honestly, I mean, I can't even answer it with one answer because it was just so good. It was phenomenal.
Oh, it's so good to see like really high-end competitive swimming back on our screens. And not just that, it's all British. It was only British athletes, and they were knocking it out of the park every single race, it seemed. It was almost like when a swimmer PB'd but didn't set like a top 10 time in the world, you're almost a bit disappointed. The standard was so high.
I mean, we're going to go through event by event, but that first day was, honestly, our sort of predictions and our expectations were just blown out of proportion, really. And in the end, we were kind of like, well, anything can happen here. And ultimately, I think there were how many British records in the end? I think there were four British records.
Four out of 5 days, four.
Yeah, something like that, which is absolutely staggering, quite frankly, especially when it's in April. I mean, these guys really, they should be swimming fast, but not at the sort of speed they were. Fantastic stuff.
Yeah, there were multiple world-leading times in several different events, several different swimmers. Yeah. I believe in total 28 hit the consideration time for the Olympics, which is a huge number when you think the squad's only going to be 35. And we only missed consideration times in four or five events.
I know, it's amazing.
We're going to have representation across the board come the Olympics.
We were looking at the preview, or we're talking about the preview of it, and we were looking at some of the times, and we think, God, blimey, some of these are going to be so tough. Of course, the 53, we'll get onto it, of course. The 53 was a ridiculous one, and Ben Proud just
smashed it out of the park.
Just awesome. But yes, we're going to go through every event anyway, so it's just awesome.
Yep, so like I said, this week's podcast, we're reviewing British trials. So what we're going to do is we're going to pick our first standout swims, because there's several that need mentioning before we're going to do some way, way too early medal predictions, because we're excited about British swimming right now. Who cannot be? Then I want to talk a little bit on the negative side of the meet, the coverage of it in terms of domestic television. It was a bit rubbish. We'll get there. We won't dawdle on it too long. And then we will dive deep into every single event, every single result. If anyone wasn't aware, we live covered it over the whole weekend. So our knowledge, we've got a write-up on our website. This is now a summary of British trials, and just how, like we said before, just how good everyone did.
I mean, it's just like, I'm just going to repeat myself. They did so well. I mean, we were watching the Russian trials, the Hungarian trials, the Japanese trials, and we thought, blimey, Milak did so good in the fly events. You had Rylov and Kolesnikov doing so well in the Russian trials. And then many of the Japanese swimmers, especially the 200 breaststrokers, just hitting times out of the park. And we thought, oh, blimey, we're going to do well to keep up with these guys. And actually, I would say we're ahead of them as of right now.
I was going to say, I don't want to be too bullish. But at this point, this is probably the best point British swimming's been in for a very, very long time. Going into an Olympic Games.
Yeah.
We'll get there. Let's start with some standout swims. So why don't you kick us off? You don't necessarily have to put a best or an order, because we tried that on a live stream. It's close to impossible to agree on it. We'll be here arguing for ages. So what were the standout swims?
Well, you asked me the question on the live stream, what are your top five swims? And I was like, oh my God, I could list you 10. And so it felt harsh that I had to leave out the other five swims to fit in just five. My top swim has to be Duncan Scott in the 200 free right at the end. I mean, the hype for that race was unreal. And boy, did it deliver. My word. Yeah. It was just a phenomenal race. We sort of labelled it as the biggest British domestic race potentially ever. Because the names in there were just phenomenal. I mean, to make the final, you had to go sub-1:48. I mean, just outstanding. I think at Australian trials, Kyle Chalmers won it in a 1:47. And you think, God, he would have been like fifth in that race. And he won Australian trials. So it has to be. And British record, of course. That was one of my predictions that came true, actually. I did so bad on my predictions this week. But no, that has to be the number one. I mean, I could list you loads. Molly Renshaw in the 200 breaststroke, I'm sure you agree with me.
That was a huge
British record.
That was a massive British record. She goes second in the world for it.
Yep.
I think that's a massive marker. And I think all of Dave Hemming's squad up in Loughborough, all of them stood out this whole week. And so did Joel Fink's squad up in Bath. And you're thinking, these are all young guys. There is so much more to come.
Well, what makes it interesting, and we'll get onto it, of course, but the 4x100 freestyle men team, I mean, Matt Richards is 18, Jacob Whittle is 16. Even when Paris comes around in 3 years' time, these guys have only come out of teenagers, you know? So, I mean, the potential is so high. And of course, I mean, you alluded to it on the live stream that we don't need to talk about PC, when actually I think we do. PC is a phenomenon. I said on the live stream, if he was American or Australian, he would just be a global superstar. But for some reason, we don't promote him like we should do. But of course, we're going to get onto that later on as well. Of course, he did a 57.3, which is just staggering for 100 breaststroke. And he's now got the top 20 times ever. So that, of course, has to be mentioned as well.
Yeah, that race can't go mentioned. I'd then say Kieran Bird for the 400 meters freestyle. That was a 5-second PB under consideration time. Ridiculous result.
And then no one saw that coming.
No, not
at all. If you say you saw that coming, you're lying. No one saw that coming. It was a 5-second PB. Ridiculous.
I'm sure we'll cover more of the events, but for me, on kind of a, not a personal side, but the final day of racing, there were a few swimmers who had missed times for the whole of the meet, and you're looking at them just like, oh, they so should be on the plane. Can they just get over the line? Amazingly, Tom Dean got to the last day with two personal bests in the two freestyles, didn't get a consideration time, and then it was almost a 2-second PB in a 200 free. I was over the moon for the guy. And then Sarah Vasey.
Yeah.
She had been waiting around all week in a hotel room, not allowed to go out. And then she almost, completely under the radar, by the way, she almost broke the British record in the 100-meter breaststroke. Almost.
0.03 off.
We completely missed that.
We did completely miss it. We were so focused, because I circled that event as one of the big races, because it could have just gone anywhere. And we completely missed it, which is very odd for us. We're usually quite on top of the British records. Yeah. But we were so engrossed in a race, and we were just concentrating on the Olympic consideration times, I suppose.
Yes,
that's probably
our
excuse a little bit. I'm quite happy Dan Jervis got on the Olympic consideration time in the 1500 as well.
Yeah, that's one of my final day ones. That was huge because he had just missed it in the 400, just missed it in the 800, and you're looking at it just like, oh, now you're finishing with a 15. And, he battered it. It was a phenomenal swim.
I'm really happy for him, actually, and he richly deserves it. Richly does, and I'm just very happy for him, and not just him, all the other swimmers as well. Like you say, 20 odd swimmers, was it 28 you said, got under the consideration time? I mean, it's just phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal.
Okay, so there were some standout swims, and as we keep saying, British swimming is in the best place it's ever been, I'm going to say, ever been. What medal hopes do we have in Tokyo? Because the list is growing. The number you're at. You've made the tally.
I think, roughly, a best case scenario, I think we have a shot at 10 events where we can win a medal.
Okay. Why don't you list them off? List them off.
Go on then. Yeah, I'll list them off. Let's start with Duncan Scott. I'm such a big believer in him. I do think he will win gold in the 200 free. I think he definitely medals.
Punchy,
absolutely. But based off the swim he did of a 144.4, I think it was. He must be going in as one of the favourites to win it. Along with that, Duncan Scott again in the 200 IM. The time he swam would have won world championships last 2 years ago now. I mean, that kind of a little bit goes under the radar of how quick that was.
Yep.
I think Freya Anderson's got an outside chance in the 200. Let's not forget that she's still around about 20 years old, very, very young. She might be peaking when Paris comes round, but you never know.
Yeah, I think the women's 200 free is looking very competitive right now. On her PB, yes, I think she's got some time to fall between now and Tokyo.
Yeah, so it's a bit of an outside chance, but a chance nonetheless. Abby Wood is you believe Abby Wood will be a strong medal contender for the 200 IM.
I'd almost say she's nailed on. Almost.
Do you reckon? That's another one I've listed down, of course. Dawson.
It's mainly more because some of the other times around the world right now in the 200 IM just aren't lighting any sort of fires.
Well, I suppose Ohashi's not quite on form. Hosu's not on form.
Yeah.
I'm not sure about Margalis at the moment.
There's been no good times coming out of America right now, apart from Ledecky. But anyway, moving on. Dawson.
Kathleen Dawson in 100 backstroke was the 8th fastest ever, in 100, the 100 backstroke, which... That's just staggering. I mean, I can't remember what the time was now. I've got it listed down somewhere else, but it's I think that's a strong chance. Maybe not gold, because Reagan Smith is really quite strong at it, but got a chance either way. Molly Renshaw in the 200 breaststroke now, suddenly, could be favourite to win gold in that event.
You kind of need to remember Abby Wood as well in that, potentially.
Yes, of course, Adam Peaty is our guaranteed gold in the 100 breaststroke, I would say, barring a complete and utter disaster.
Have you added James Wilby to that?
Well, I haven't. I just went off the gold.
Oh, there we go then. There might be another one. You might be up to 11.
Yeah, and then this is based off you, really, because you think Ben Proud definitely has a chance for a medal now in that 53. And the two men's relays in the 4x2 freestyle and the 4x1 medley, I think they're guaranteed medals. It's just whether they're gold or not. So that's like 11.
I reckon I can throw maybe one or two more in there, actually.
Do you reckon? Who would you add in?
I'd add in the mixed relay, which have forgotten about. Because
I forget that one.
If we're doing well on both the men's relays, you've got to be considered. Maybe Jimmy Guy is an outside bet for the 200 fly. Maybe.
Well, I mean, the gold's gone, unfortunately, in that event, because Milak is just head and shoulders above.
Yeah.
Whether the silver and the bronze medals are up for grabs. But, of course, I think Sato is targeting that event, and he's pretty strong at it. So, really, it's the bronze medal that's up for grabs. So, potentially Jimmy could do it. And I know he's a fierce competitor. He's done the fastest times he's done for a long time at this meet. So, he's clearly on form. So I wouldn't bet against him.
Yeah, and I tell you what, if you're saying Duncan Scott's winning gold in the 200 freestyle, I think Tom Dean's up there as well then. I really do. I think that after the swim this week, he's got to be up there as well. So potentially there's double-digit medals for GB, which is, I cannot remember the last time that happened in a swimming pool.
Oh, God, you're going to have to go back a good number of Olympics for that. Let's just think about the golds. Let's just take... our predictions of Duncan winning the 200 free, Petey winning 100 breaststroke, let's say Molly Renshaw wins the 200 breaststroke,
ooh,
there's three golds. And let's say the two men's relays win golds, there's five. So, you know, we could be on our best medal haul for decades. When was the last time we won a potential five golds?
I'm too young for that knowledge.
Yeah. I just remember Becky Adlington winning two at Beijing, and that was our best.
That's almost my first
in terms
memory.
Of gold. That was pretty much it. Other than that, yeah.
Okay, so that's all the positives of the meet. Obviously, we are going to do an event by event review, quick kind of summary of each race, basically, of the meet. And then we'll finish off this podcast by naming, at this point in time, our team for Tokyo. There's obviously a few months to go. There's a few more meets where people can be added, but we'll give our team after trials.
Yeah.
But we have to talk about one thing which bugged me a hell of a lot from trials. We won't talk about it too much because it's very negative. But for the first time in my memory of watching swimming, this meet was not on BBC in any shape or form other than radio.
Yeah, not even on the red button, was it?
No, which is a step backwards. There was a massive, massive step forwards in the pool by all British swimmers. And then to find out that it got... Obviously, it was on YouTube. We live streamed with it. We watched the live stream. But television overall has that bigger platform. It just has a general wider audience. So for this meet where British swimming has taken a huge, huge step forwards, to know that there's kids out there who are probably going to have missed this and will never know how good that 200 freestyle final was is really, really disappointing.
I mean, I know exactly how you feel because I feel exactly the same way. It's almost a disgrace, if that makes sense. I mean, the swimming in this country is now so good that BBC or any other major TV platform, if you like, they don't have or don't want to show swimming. And I said at the very beginning, of course, you got it with a superstar like Adam Peaty. You've got to promote the guy. I mean, he could bring so many youngsters into the swimming game just by him alone. I mean, he could by himself, but with all the extra names that could potentially be joining him as a superstar, let's say Duncan Scott, Molly Renshaw, Ference, and those names, it could bring more people in. And it's all about building the grassroots at the beginning, the foundations, and, you know, the classic pyramid. And then the elite side gradually gets bigger as the foundation gets bigger at the bottom.
Yeah.
And it's a real shame. Like this, the whole idea is to expose these swimmers or, you know, show them off effectively.
Mm.
And unfortunately, yes, it's great on YouTube, but if it was on BBC, on normal terrestrial telly, then it would be shown to more eyes. More eyes would be on it.
Yeah, so we'll go into the YouTube side a little bit because obviously I'm a bit of a YouTube geek. I'll get into that. But I hope, for the sake of BBC, that there is some coronavirus reason that it's not on television. Let's say, for example, they couldn't get all of the TV crew in the building. They didn't want them in the building. They just wanted it as simple setup as possible. And BBC said, no, we can't do that. You're going to have to just put it onto YouTube. I really hope that's the reason. And it's just not being addressed.
It's difficult, but they're able to do it for the other sports.
Yeah, it's really, really tough. Especially when the snooker was on television, for crying out loud.
That's what I was going to compare it to.
I was just it was such an exciting week for anyone who loves swimming. It was on the perfect time. The finals were 7 till 8 o'clock at night. The exposure that this meet could have had, because we watched it every day and every night knocked it out of the park.
It did.
For excitement, for records, for Olympic qualifiers. I just couldn't quite believe that it's... Obviously, we're YouTubers. We love YouTube, but it's just on YouTube. And then when you look at it on YouTube as well, they didn't knock it out of the park. Now, if anyone from British Swimming is listening to this, maybe they are, come have a word with me, because I will get your SEO sorted, your thumbnails sorted, everything like that. YouTube is a whole different beast. You just can't put something up and expect it to do well. You need to plaster it full of tags. You need to do the descriptions. You need to do the thumbnails. You need to share it to the right people. Get people sharing it themselves at certain times of day. There's so much that goes on behind the scenes that I'm not going to bore all of our listeners with. But if they are going to solely put it on YouTube, invest a lot of time into it, because it's not a quick thing.
Yeah, it is a shame, because of course a lot of the summers who were on the fringe level of that elite sort of side couldn't go as well. And I'm sure they would have been watching it on YouTube. And they would have, if it was on, let's say, BBC. We keep using BBC, but let's just go with BBC for now. If it was on BBC, then they could easily direct people of the younger generation or the older generation, either way, it doesn't matter, just to direct them onto BBC One, BBC Two, whatever. It's just so much easier, rather than, especially if the older generation, they don't quite understand this YouTube stuff. So maybe it's a little bit more long-winded, for example.
YouTube's up and coming. It's brilliant. It's the biggest social media platform in the world. It's what we live off, both me and you. But it's a big sporting event. You don't just see a football game only on YouTube. It needs the wider exposure, especially a sport like swimming, where it is a niche audience.
Yeah, so, I mean, so difficult. Sky Sports obviously have the football, the darts. BT Sport has the rugby. And unfortunately, nothing, as of right now, has the swimming. And it just takes one of these major broadcasts to maybe snap it up. At the moment, we haven't got any. And BBC should be filling that void. But
anyone, put it on Eurosport for all I care. Just get some sort of TV revenue, some TV exposure to these swimmers, because, like we said, they knocked it out of the park. They needed a little bit more on terms of exposure and coverage, especially that 200 meters freestyle. That was a wild race. British records broken, top 9th and 10th time in the world, and it wasn't even on like the news in the evening.
If that was an American race, can you imagine the hype that it would have given, especially for that high standard race? But in this country, it just doesn't happen. It would have been so big in America with the fireworks and whatever else, and it looks like a proper spectacle and entertainment. It's almost like a show, but we just don't do it here, which is so unfortunate. Hopefully, it does change. This is where ISL suddenly comes in, and hopefully, it's sort of
add some more excitement.
But we don't want to dwindle on the negative. It's a big negative, but we need to go back to the positives.
Yeah, let's move on before I fully dive down a rabbit hole and start ranting like mad about it, because I really, really could. Right, so we're going to do an event-by-event review. So catch up. Like we previewed every single event, we picked out swimmers to pay attention to. We'll go through each event. We'll say the winning time, who got consideration times, and what impressed us, because there's lots to talk about.
Oh my God, we could be here all day. Honestly, we could.
We'll try and rattle on through.
I mean, the meet started so well. The women's 200 free. Of course, Franzen goes in as favourite, but there's more on the line than just the individual 200 free Olympic consideration time. It's all about trying to get that top four for the 4x200 the freestyle relay.
It was. The only unfortunate thing is that the top four girls, when you combine their times together, didn't actually break under the British consideration time. So it's likely that British Swimming are going to send all four of these girls off to Europeans, off to Glasgow, and say, please swim some 200 meters freestyle so we can justify selection. But then on the individual side, I wouldn't say it was disappointing. Freya Anderson went under the consideration time. She went a 156.8. Abby Wood just missed it, which is a shame, but she did PB. That's all you can ask. And that PB has dropped almost 2 seconds from the start of the year, which is massive improvements. Freya, did we expect her to go slightly faster?
For me, no, because this is one of my predictions that I got right. I was quite happy with that swim. I did sort of say if she can go high 56, then she's on the right sort of path.
Okay.
I don't want to say disappointed in Abby Wood. Kind of unfortunate for Abby Wood that she missed it by 0.2. But like you say, she's got a chance of going to Europeans or the Glasgow meets in May. It's just a shame because we had 5 swimmers go under 2 minutes. And I just don't think it's going to be enough to take a team. It's so unfortunate.
It's a shame.
I love the idea of taking a relay for every event, like I said on the live stream. But I just don't know if it's going to be strong enough.
I think we'll find out.
Unfortunately.
We'll find out later on down the line. And then day one, really, really got going. The men's 400 meters freestyle won by Kieran Bird in the only Olympic consideration time of a 3:46 flat. But it was a stunning swim. It came out of absolutely nowhere.
I mean, I said at the very time when it's when he swam it, I thought, this is swim of the meet already. I can't.
It's the second event.
And I just thought, this is swim of the meet. And his PB going into the meet was a 3:51. He's come out the meet with a 3:46 and going to, should be going to Tokyo. I mean, just absolutely stunning. I just can't believe he's done it. And the way he swam it, he just stuck on Tom Dean's, I think it was his shoulder or hip, pretty much the whole way. And then the last 50 meters was something I've never seen before ever. Just a staggering last 50 meters and just unbelievable. 3:46.0 is just a phenomenal swim.
Yeah, and he was in the perfect lane for that race, wasn't he? He was sandwiched between Tom Dean and Dan Jervis. And you're watching the race just like, well, one of those two is going to kick on soon. Oh, hang on. Kieran Bird still hanging with him. What's going on? And then the last 50, it was rapid.
I mean, I'm so happy for him because, you know, when they get to the end of their race and they're so joyous, they can't stop smiling. And he was like that. And I don't think he kind of realized what he did as soon as he looked at the scoreboard. He must have been like in shock. but really happy for him, and he should be on the plane to Tokyo. We're still waiting for clarification of what the team is, aren't we? I believe.
Yeah.
But he should be on there.
Deservedly so. And then the women's 400 meters IM. Now, I don't want to say this was a surprise that the Olympic consideration time was hit by Amy Wilmot, because she's world class, but that time's fast. It wasn't slow, and she had no one to race.
Yeah, surprise isn't the right word. I think the word is kind of unexpected.
Impressed.
Yeah. I mean, we know that she's gone a 4:33 before. And so, in theory, she should go under that consideration time, no problems. But with the lack of racing, and we're going to bring it up later on with the distance events, and COVID is a big issue because they can't get in the pool. And for anything from 400 upwards, you have to get in the pool, really. Mm. But that's a fantastic swim. I was talking through it on the live stream. Obviously, fly is her strongest event, strongest stroke, and she's pretty good at backstroke and front crawl. But she wasn't allowed any rest period during that whole 400 IM. I mean, she was dead at the end. She had nothing left. Yeah. Fantastic swim. She was basically swimming it by herself as well, because Lily Booker and Hannah Miley, who we need to mention as well, Hannah Miley, they were about 7-8 seconds behind her. So she was basically swimming by herself. So it's a fantastic swim. And going back to Hannah Miley, it's great to see her back in the pool after the injury issues and problems with her ankle and her shoulder. It's fantastic to see her back again.
Awesome to see. Yeah. So we kicked off day one with three consideration times hit in three events, and it didn't let up. The men's 100 meters breaststroke. Adam Peaty, you said during the podcast, he needs more credit, because a 57.39 was, I believe, the eighth fastest time in the world. And you don't even blink at him going that sort of time.
It's so difficult to just talk about Petey, because he is in a different dimension when it comes to breaststroke. And so many times people are just like, oh, it's just Petey, that's what he does. But actually, he needs the credit, because he is, in theory, he's better than Dressel, based off the times he's hitting. And
wow. You listen into the British Swimmen live commentary of the morning session, and he's better than Usain Bolt.
Because say that story.
Andy Jameson did an amazing statistic for this. So Adam Peaty's world record for 100 meters breaststroke is 2.5% faster than the rest of the field. So if you take Usain Bolt's world record in the 100 meters and do 2.5% away from that, there's 8 competitors within that. So that just shows how good Adam Peaty is. And he smashes the Olympic consideration time. I honestly think that world record is under threat. His start is now, I'd say that's world class. It's up there with the best.
Yeah, well, I was telling you it was the second Manchester meet, and I said to you, watch his start, because he's not now like half a body length behind. He's now coming up level or maybe just ahead, and he's improved it yet again for these trials. And as soon as he did that start and he smashed out a 57.39, I thought that world record's going in Tokyo, which then makes him even, I mean, he's the greatest breaststroker of all time, but now he's just, the legacy he's going to leave behind is just phenomenal.
It's going to be one of those world records which will not be broken for a long time.
No, and this is what annoys me. Like, you use the Usain Bolt comparison, And he's got all the credit in the world for what he's done, running a 9.58. And yet Petey, yes, he gets credit, of course, but it's nowhere near on the magnitudes of what Bolt's done.
He gets it in the swimming circles, but in terms of world sport, it's like kind global. Of unnoticed.
And of course, James Wilby as well, 58.7, gets under the Olympic consideration time as well. They are the top two, I would say, in the world for 100 breaststroke.
Well, there's a few hovering around the low 58 mark right now around Europe. There's some Italians, some Dutch as well.
Szymanowicz.
Yeah, there's a fair few. But yeah, James Wilby's in with a shout over podium. He really is. And then day one continued with another consideration time in the women's 100 meters butterfly. Now, this was, what was it, the second event of the day that left you speechless, utterly speechless.
Honestly, I didn't expect it.
I thought this consideration time was far ahead of all of the personal bests in the water.
Yeah, well, Harriet Jones is who we're talking about, of course. She was one of those swimmers where so there's been three meets this year with the two Manchesters and the trials, and every time she gets in the pool, she PBs, whether that's a 50 fly, 100 fly. And I just think it gets to a point where there's only so much you can lower your PB before, you know, it takes another cycle of training to try and bring that time down.
Yeah.
She, in the heat, I think her PB was 58.6 or 58.5, something along those lines. And you think that consideration time is another half second to go yet. And you think that's a big ask. And then she goes and swims 57.79. So that's pretty much point two underneath the consideration time. And I was on the live stream, gobsmacked.
Yeah, Dan couldn't talk.
You had to take over for the next 2 minutes or so, because I had no idea what to say. I just couldn't believe it. It was such a good swim.
And Laura Stevens almost got under herself. And if I'm honest, I'm expecting her to get that later on. And I think she's one of the names that gets added to the squad, because she's only just off on the 200 meters butterfly as well. I think a little bit more racing come summertime and she's joining Harriet Jones in this 100 meters butterfly.
I agree. We'll get on to the women's 200 fly later on, but she was only 0.06 off this time. It wouldn't surprise me if she dives in the European Championships and just goes under that time, no problem. I fully expect her to be on the 100 and the 200, quite frankly, when it comes around to Tokyo. So I wouldn't worry that she didn't get under the consideration time. Still a good swim. I think it was a PB, actually, for her. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, got no problems with her. She's going to be on the plane, I would have thought.
Yeah.
We will find out.
Then we ended the night with a men's 200 meters IM, where Duncan Scott hit a British record. And if I'm honest, it's almost gone under the radar, because we had two amazing times hit, like we said before, in Kieran Bird and Harriet Jones. And then this one is almost an afterthought. But it was the fastest time in the world, by a long way.
He is a special swimmer, Duncan Scott. There are not many swimmers who could do a world-class, and that was a world-class 200 IM, a world-class 200 free, a world-class 100 free. I know he entered at 100 fly, and I'm pretty sure he could do a pretty good 100 fly. He pulled out in the end to concentrate on the 200. But he is a special swimmer. British record, 155.9 for a 200 IM. I mean, that's getting close to a freestyle time. That is a fantastic time. And as far as I'm aware, he would have won gold that time at the 2019 World Champs. I mean, that's pretty special. And, of course, the person who comes second in Joe Litchfield, also under the consideration time as well.
Yeah.
That must have put his mind at ease, quite frankly.
I was going to say,
I think it was his first event, wasn't it, for him?
First event, and he had a very busy schedule for the rest of the week. So it was good to see Joe get under it at first attempt and can then get on with the rest of his meet. You wouldn't have written it any better for him.
No, he did perfect. And he beat Max's brother to second place as well, who was just outside the consideration time. But I know he was targeting the 400 IM more so.
So then, moving on, day two. And this is the point that you wanted to cover, the distance swimming. The women and the men's 800 meters freestyle. On the women's side, they missed the consideration time by a much larger chunk than the guys' time. But both of the races seem to have the same problem.
Yeah, it's a big shame. And I think it's the case for not just our country, most countries, because COVID is clearly a problem. We haven't been in a pool for so long. And these distance swimmers, they have to be in the pool. Otherwise, constantly. It's all to do with feel and fitness and all the rest of it. And of course, these swimmers haven't had the opportunity to do that. Sprinting wise, we've been on fire. I mean, it's not just our country, other countries. Sprinting wise, we've been doing amazing, but distance swimming has struggled because of it. I suppose you can say that the guys did better than the girls, but I think that women's world record of Ledecky's makes that consideration time so tough to get. And I think our distance freestylers on the women's side are all very young, so they've actually got time to grow into their bodies and get used to it. Another cycle of training. Paris might be a better bet for them. But of course, when you get to the men's side, Dan Jervis probably is at his peak now, I would have thought, or getting close to his peak. Kieran Bird came second, who was just outside as well, who just had the meat of his life. So it's a difficult one for the distance swimmers.
I think
and
both
it's only going to improve, I would have thought.
I think both those guys that you mentioned will get selected for the 800 because they've qualified elsewhere. So I think they're already on the plane to Tokyo. Just enter them in this because obviously Kieran Bird's shown that he can hit a massive PB out of nowhere. So just give them a chance. And they were so close to the consideration time. I think you give them the benefit of the doubt. But I do agree. I think the fact that these distance freestylers have had big training blocks interrupted, it's had an effect out. And it's been obvious to see throughout the whole meet, if we're honest.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't just the 800. We'll get onto the 1500 later and a little bit of the 400 as well. Yeah. But it's a difficult one. I think it'll get better. By the time Tokyo comes around, I would have thought these times will be where they should be at.
But we did have a bright spark. It kicked off again day two with the men's 200 meters butterfly. Now, Jimmy Guy, he looked like he worked the heats a lot more than he usually would. He was seeing what he had in the tank, seeing what his arms were doing that day. And then in the evening, he thought, you know what? I got this. And he went off like an absolute madman, turning in a 53 flat to hold on and get a massive PB and go under the consideration time.
When you put it like that, so he turned in a 53.0 and then came back in a 102. That's how much he was hurting towards the end. But all credit to him. I mean, there's not many people who would, I'm going to call it a risk, who risk sprint. It's pretty much sprinting. He was sprinting the first 100 metres of to 200 fly. I only know one other swimmer who does that in Chad Leclos. It's brave, and you could see the pain he was in the last 25 metres. The strokes were getting so much shorter. And yeah, he was swimming through sludge, wasn't he? But all credit to him. I think it was a PB from him. 155.2 we went in the end, which is 0.2 under the consideration time. Just a fantastic swim. So gutsy. And then we've got to talk about Jay Lelliott, who we messaged afterwards, who hit a PB of 1.5 seconds, I believe it was. And he told us that he thinks he's got more in the tank.
Mm.
Blimey.
Well, I was going to say, that was his first meet of the year. So if he keeps on swimming at Glasgow, if he gets selected for Europeans, he's in with... It's an outside shot, but he's in with a shot of getting down as well.
Yeah, I mean, we've given a lot of outside chances in our predictions, and they've come true. So he's got every chance of doing it. And Ed Mildred, who came third... Only 18, I think he is.
One
so he's got
future.
A big future ahead of him. Yeah, so maybe Paris in 3 years' time. If not, I think it's LA, the one after Paris, if I've got that right. That might be the one he's targeting.
And then we had the women's 100 metres backstroke with Kathleen Dawson winning in a consideration time of a 58.24. Now, I said beforehand that the British record was under threat, and it almost was. She almost got Gemma Spofforth's super suit record, which was stunning, and two other girls went under the consideration time as well.
Yeah, when you gave that prediction to me, I thought, no. I mean, that record that Spofforth did was
world
record at the time, and she only went 0.1 slow, and I thought, oh my, just a fantastic swim. It ended up being 8th fastest of all time, that 100 backstroke swim that Kathleen Dawson did. It was one of the events that I circled beforehand because I knew that three of them could hit the Olympic consideration time. And so it was just basically a straight head-to-head or straight shootout of who finishes in the top two. In this situation, Kathleen Dawson won by over a second, actually. And then Cassie Wild, the young swimmer, came second in a 59.51, which is pretty much on her PB, if I remember right.
Mm.
But then, of course, Georgia Davis was under the consideration time as well. So it's a bit of a headache for the selectors. But I'm going to be sort of like strict on it, if you like. I just say it's the top two. That's the rules. You just take the top two. But we'll see what they do.
They could decide to leave it open and just say you two or you three keep racing and whoever has the lowest PB come June will select you. But I think it's almost, it's definitely the first place is closed. That's done.
Yeah, yep, yep.
I'd probably take Cassie, but I can understand, perfectly understand why they'd leave it open.
Yeah, well, you might as well. I mean, you never know. Georgia might smash out a 58. You just never know. Yeah, and if she does that, then you take her, obviously.
Definitely.
We'll see. I mean, it's one of those ones that, yeah, you just wait and see how they develop over the next, I think it's the next month, I suppose, next month, month and a half. And if they do go those times or improve those times, then by all means, they're on the plane.
So you said the women's side lived up to expectations. It was a really, really good race. The men's one didn't. It fell a little flat.
Yeah, I mean, we bigged it up quite a lot because of the chance of the 4x100 medley relay potentially winning and beating the Americans, which hasn't ever happened at the Olympics. So it's a massive, massive deal. And we bigged it up because of, I know Luke Greenbank is the main backstroker in Britain, but we know Joe Litchfield is a major threat right now. But what we didn't know going into the meet, Luke had a sprained ankle, and it was
badly
it was a bad, it was a bad ankle. I mean, the camera zoomed in on it at one point, and it was just, not maybe not twice the size, but you know, it was ballooned up, and it was going all sorts of different blue and black colours. He did very well to even race, quite frankly. So Joe Litchfield won in the end. Luke Greenbank was only maybe 0.1 away from him, really. So, you know, pretty much the same sort of time, just outside the Olympic considerations. So I think it's going to be one of those, a bit like the women's, where it's just going to be open and see how they do at Europeans and Glasgow.
Yeah, I think selectors will really hope that it was Luke having a bad weekend because of his ankle and that he can get his time down. You'd really hope to the 52s come that relay. But time will tell on that one. It was a little bit of a disappointing race in terms of times, but again, there's a lot of scope for improvement before Tokyo, I'd say.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to talk about the men's 200 as well, because that was a bit of a disappointment. And I just wonder if some of these swimmers were concentrating so much on Luke's ankle, or was like a kind of distraction, if you like, that their times weren't quite up to what they should be, basically. Which is a bit of a shame, but like I said, similar to the women's, they'll probably keep it open and see how they do in Europeans and Glasgow.
And then we finished off day two with another ridiculous British record. Molly Renshaw absolutely destroying the previous mark to go a 220.89. Monster swim.
This has to be up there in definitely the top five, I would say. Maybe even top three swims of the whole meet, because they both went pretty much the same time in the heats, I believe. It was about 223 in the heats, maybe 224. Mm. So maybe just outside the Olympic consideration. But then suddenly in the final, they just left the rest of the field.
So Molly Renshaw and Abby Wood. Now, I said in the preview show, I thought they would both go under the original British record. And lo and behold, they did. I was feeling pretty happy about this prediction.
You did well on predictions this weekend.
I did. It made a change.
Not this weekend, the last week, sorry. I was so bad on predictions, so luckily you did really well. But that was such a massive time. 220.8. I can't remember where that is on all-time list. I think it's top 10, isn't it?
I'm not sure. It's second in the world right now.
Yeah,
so,
I mean,
definite medal chances there. We said about it before.
GB Breaststroke is in a very good place, isn't it? Gee.
Mm. So, day three, we're rattling through it now. Men's 400 metres IM, Max Litchfield and Brody Williams going under the consideration time. Little bit of a surprise that Brody went under, but we kind of mentioned it beforehand. He was a little bit of a dark horse for a good swim.
Yeah.
I thought it would come in the 200 back, but no, the 400 IM was where it came.
Mm-hmm.
I think Max would have felt like there was a little bit more. He would have wanted to go a little bit faster with a 4.12. His PB's all the way down at a 4.9. Because come Olympics, this event right now to me looks a little bit wide open.
Yeah, well, we spoke about that Sato might not be taking part in it. So really, it's only Hagino that poses a threat, I suppose, to the gold. I just don't think there's any Americans that I don't know if Chase Callis is still swimming, because I know Ryan Lochte's definitely not going to be swimming it now. Laszlo Che is concentrating on 200 fly. It could be wide open for Max. It's a great opportunity for him. And he, for me, I would be quite disappointed with that time. I mean, under consideration time for Olympics, yes, very good. And I was thinking about it today. I just wonder if he was mentally invested in the 200 free at the very end of the meet, because the hype was so big. And of course, he had a chance of making the final, which he did. And I just wonder if his mind was on there and maybe got a bit too complacent with this 400 iron because he knew he was going to qualify for it anyway. I wonder if that was part of it. But we'll talk about Brody Williams, and that was a fantastic PB.
Oh, I was going to say, both Litchfield brothers on the plane, Mum and Dad, you've done a good job.
Yeah, they must be very proud. I can't imagine what it must be like to have two sons on the plane for the Olympics. I mean, it must be absolutely sensational. God, they must be so proud.
And then we had the women's 200 metres butterfly, and am I allowed to say the old dog pulled it out of the bag? Probably not. But Alice Thomas qualifies for her first ever Olympics at the age of 30. There you go, kids. Don't give up.
Well, I tell you what, she is a fantastic role model of just keep chasing that dream. Like you say, that at the age of 30, the first time going to Olympics, even though she's won the Commonwealth gold 2 years or maybe 3 years ago now, she got under that time because of her turns. The underwater work that she does is just insanely good. If there's any youngsters listening, then go and watch that race, because swim speed, she's pretty much the same as the rest of the girls, but she won the race and got under the consideration time because of her turns. They were phenomenal. And I don't want to say old dog, that might be the wrong thing to say, but she's done it. She's showing her pedigree, and she did fantastic and richly deserves it. And I'm very happy for her. She was really emotional, I think, in the interview as well. So it just shows how much it means to her.
Right. Another massive race, the men's 100 metres freestyle. Duncan Scott equaled his British record under consideration time, disappointed with the swim for some reason. I will never quite know why someone's disappointed with a 47.7. And then Matt Richards sneaks under a tough consideration time as well. We thought he would do well. I wasn't quite sure a straight consideration time was on the cards in this one.
He was on fire. I mean, he did even better in a 200, which we'll get onto. But under the consideration time for the 100, 48.23 as an 18-year-old, as far as I know, is a British age group record. Just a phenomenal swim. His second 50, that's clearly the thing he's been concentrating on. He's been doing sort of the negative split work or equal split stuff in training.
He swims like an Aussie.
Yeah, he does, yeah. And that's the reason why he's smashing out these times. The Aussies know exactly how to swim freestyle. Just look at Kyle Chalmers. And he's doing exactly the same tactic. It's fantastic. And of course, if you're racing against Duncan Scott, there's no better person to race against, because he will give you a fight, basically, every time you dive in the water. And just a phenomenal swim. How Duncan Scott was disappointed with that time, I have no idea. But he put that disappointment behind him later on in day five. But we'll get on there. We'll get on to that.
I think it's worth mentioning that the 4x100 freestyle relay team for the guys now is looking really strong, not just for this Olympics, but for the future. You've got Jacob Whittle, who's 16, who's likely to, or we hope, gets picked for that relay team. You've got Matt Richards, who's 18. I believe Tom Dean is only 20. And then Duncan Scott's not that old either. I think he's only 24, 25. So
I think he's younger. I think he was born in 97. So that makes him 23, 24.
Oh, blimey. So there's staggering. Some good years ahead, especially when I think Matt Richards and Jacob Whittle really are the future of freestyle in this country.
Well, if we talk about Jacob Whittle for a second, his time, he came fourth in the race. He went to 48.76. Now, for a 16-year-old, as far as I know, that is the fastest 16-year-old ever.
Yeah.
And he's British. We need to build this kid up, because he will be a world beater, potentially, let's say, come Paris or the next Olympics after that. That's huge hopes, huge hopes. The potential is so high. And like I said, he's British. He's ours. Awesome. But fantastic swim overall from all of the guys, really. PBs from pretty much the whole field in the final, which is awesome.
Yeah, it's another race that kids really need to go back and watch that over and over again.
Definitely.
I loved it. The women's 400 metres freestyle was up next. Holly Hibbert was very, very much swimming alone against the clock. She gave absolutely everything, but just missed out on the consideration time. It was a tough ask, like we said, with the distance swimmers, and that consideration time is only skewed by Ledecky. Hopefully there's more in the tank in the future. She's still young.
Yes, I think so. And it just goes down to the whole COVID situation, I think, again. Doesn't help that she was basically the only swimmer that had the opportunity to go under the Olympic consideration time. Her PB was quicker than the consideration time. Mm. But like I said, with the COVID and the training, it was so tough for these swimmers. Although she went 4.07.0 and the consideration time was 4.05.9, it looks like she's 2 seconds away, but actually it's only just over a second. So she's got every chance of getting that time come Europeans or Glasgow. It's just a matter of time, another bit of training, a couple of weeks, and I'm sure she'll get there.
I was going to say, I'd love to see what she does with a more competitive field, a bit more people around her driving her on to a faster time. It's very hard to swim fast when you're swimming alone.
It is very tough, and we were talking about it with the para lot, weren't we, where they were doing some finals by themselves.
Yeah.
Must be tough racing conditions, and effectively that's what Holly was doing. She beat Leah Crisp by 7 seconds, which is massive. I mean, you're basically swimming by yourself. You're about, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 meters ahead at that point, maybe even more, actually, to be fair. It's a difficult one, and maybe when the Europeans comes round, there will be more girls to have the same sort of speed, if not quicker than her, and she can just sort of be dragged along with those speeds. So we'll see. Hopefully she'll do it in the next couple of weeks or months.
And then we finish day three with the men's 200 meters breaststroke, which is an under the radar, very, very strong event for British swimming, with both James Wilby and Ross Murdoch comfortably, well, Ross wasn't too comfortable, but both both under the consideration time. And I'd honestly really expect them both to final come Tokyo.
I don't know if they would be happy with the times they swam. With the PBs being low to mid 207s, they were both about a second or two off their PBs. So I wonder if they would be happy with the times they swam. Although under consideration time, and the times going on around the world,
yeah,
there was a Japanese swimmer who I can't remember his name now, but he went 206. So if they want to cause...
It's kind of...
Yeah, if they want to...
I felt like there was a lot more pressure on these guys than they thought there would be, because it was a comfortable consideration time, but because of the times that were going on around the world, you suddenly know, oh, okay, if we're going to have any chance come Tokyo, we're going to have to do 206, maybe even a 205.
But that should have driven them to do better times, in my opinion. But it just depends what the mindset is, maybe just different training cycle, who knows, because of course James Wilby, I would have thought, targets the 100 more than a 200.
Yeah, possibly.
Ross Murdoch hasn't raced as often as he would like, I assume, for the year. I think there's a lot more to come, in summary.
I do.
There's a lot more to come.
Very much felt job done, move on.
Yep.
Improvements on the way. Right, day four, the women's 100 meters freestyle. It wasn't overly quick. They both got under the consideration time, Freya Anderson and Anna Hopkin. What was more weird for me is, on paper, they can't be separated. In the pool, they can't be separated. Face to face, they are completely different swimmers. It's incredible to see how far apart they are, both in terms of size and technique, and yet on paper, they can barely be separated. I think the heats, they swam exactly the same time. Their personal bests are so close that when you look at them on paper, they look like the same. And then this weekend, they were split by 900ths of a second.
Yeah, pretty much the same time, isn't it? It's pretty much the same time again.
It's the same.
And it's the classic case of the 200 freestyler and the 50-meter freestyle meeting at the 100. I mean, the classic one is Ian Thorpe, who was the 400, and Peter Hoogemand, who was the 100, and meeting at the 200. It's kind of like that, really. Technique-wise, they are completely different. They're poles apart. Anna Hopkin has the straight-arm, powerful 50-meter style stroke, and then you've got Franson, who's more... I don't want to say efficient. That's not the right word, but it's a lot more smoother.
Stroke.
Yes, yeah. Completely different. And then height-wise, that was funny when you look at watching the interviews, because as far as I know, I mean, I overheard Andy Jameson saying that Freya is 6'2 or 6'3, which is, she's a giant. And then Anna Hopkin just looks looks so small next to her. She looks like she's 5'4 or something like that. You know, I don't know how tall she is, I'm guessing. But going back to the race, they pretty much did the same time under consideration. We kind of expected it a little bit, actually.
Yeah.
But I think they're just going to improve as the year goes on, really.
The men's 50 meters freestyle, I'll take over, because We said in the preview podcast, we went into it in great depth. A time of 21.7 at the time of recording that podcast would have put Ben Proud as the fastest man in the world at that point. And I thought that was ridiculous to ask someone to go the fastest time in the world if they're going to qualify. Lo and behold, Ben Proud rocks up and in the heats goes a 21.6. And then in the final, after what looked like a perfect swim that morning, goes a 21.42 to go second fastest and honestly lay down a ginormous marker come Tokyo.
He looks in fantastic shape. The stuff he's been doing, I'm assuming he's still with James Gibson. He's been doing some fantastic stuff, clearly. Of course, he's been training with Florent Manadou, who was the only person, I think, at the time to have gone 21.7. So he's training with the right person. He's clearly got a fantastic coach. He's been living in the gym by the look of things because he's sculpted.
I'm jealous.
Body envy, yeah, yeah. And because of that amazing time, he kind of drags the other swimmers along with him. So there was Yusuke Lagarde, who had a massive PB. He went 22.1. Jacob Whittle, who I want to talk about Jacob Whittle, because in the heat he went 22.4, which was a half a second PB. I mean, half a second over 50 meters is almost unheard of. And then he had a great opportunity in the final to better that time. In the final, he went 22.5, and his start was, it was such a shame because he was slow off the block, and because he was slow off the block, he couldn't do the underwater. The breakout wasn't quite there. But once he got into the swimming routine, the rhythm and tempo and all the rest of it, he just looked like it was so quick in the water. So if he had a perfect start, I just wonder what time he would have gone. I wonder if he would have pushed that 22 mark. Just a phenomenal time from him. But going back to Ben Proud, yeah, I mean, you think he's going to be on the podium in Tokyo, and I'm not going to disagree with you. You're the sprinter. You know best. So it's going to be a fascinating swim.
At this moment in time, he's obviously, Dressel's going to be in with a shout, but he's not swam anything fast so far this year. Ben Proud's the leading light. He really is. And it took my words away because I thought that consideration time was bonkers, and he just brushed it off. It was amazing to see. It was amazing.
Yeah, he almost breezed through it. And like you say, in the heats, he did a 21.6. And I was kind of, you watch the race and you look for little minor details that you can improve on. And his start was phenomenal. He didn't take a breath and finish on a fully extended finish. And I thought, he can't go much quicker than that. He's obviously blitzed it in the heat and he's just going to go roughly the same sort of time in the final. And he went 0.2 quicker. Just awesome. I mean, what he's going to do in Tokyo, I've got no idea. I mean, his PB is 21.1, which is, I think, fourth best in the world. So, you know, we kind of forget that. We forget that he's the fourth best ever to have swum the race. So,
I'm expecting big things come Tokyo. I really am.
Yeah. Yeah.
So then the women's 200 meters backstroke, that followed that up. Now, this was another consideration time that I think we both thought was maybe slightly out of reach because PBs were a good second beyond it. But no, Kathleen Dawson carries on her ridiculous backstroke form from the past two meets and solidifies herself quite comfortably now as the best British backstroker around and gets under the consideration time with, I think, a PB of almost 1.5 seconds.
Oh, just monstrous.
It's just a 208.14, which is so good. That's so good.
Yeah. I mean, my prediction was that she was one of those swimmers that had an outside chance of getting the time. And she obviously got it by 0.3 in the end, which is relatively comfortable. She's just a massive... She's just on form. She's just doing really well. The Manchester meet, the second Manchester meet that she swam at, which I believe was the first competition that she did this year, hitting new PBs then, and she's just carried it on. She's hitting better PBs, but like you say, what was it, a second and a half you were sort of saying? Just awesome. I mean, she's going to be a real threat. Maybe not in this event for Tokyo, but definitely 100. For the 100.
100 looks
good.
Yeah,
definitely.
And then we had the men's 100 meters butterfly, Jimmy Guy and Jacob Peters going under the consideration time. More Olympic consideration times hit. If you haven't noticed so far, a lot of them were hit. Jimmy Guy looked like he went fairly comfortable. I think there's a lot more in the tank of 51.4, a little bit off his PB. I think he had half an eye on the 200 meters freestyle the next day. But he did drag Jacob Peters along to a big personal best and for him to get under the consideration time.
Yeah, another big PB from Jacob Peters. I mean, he went 0.5 quicker than he's ever gone before.
Mm.
And he had to go that time to get under the consideration time. So I think he's got to thank Jimmy Guy for that, I suspect. Jacob Peters is the 50th swimmer going up to 100. So he was always going to be a threat to Jimmy over the first 50. I then expected Jimmy to then take over on the second 50, which eventually he did. Jimmy Guy, I was kind of, at the time, pretty disappointed with that swim. But I do think you might be right that the hype of the 200, which was the next day, maybe overtook a little bit. So he probably just did enough to get the consideration time, win the event, and then just move on to the 200. That's the kind of idea that I think he went with in the end.
He is very much a... I'm not sure if this is the right word, but he's very much a professional winner. He gets the job done, moves on.
Yep. I can't disagree with you there. We were kind of hyping this race up because, of course, Jimmy Guy isn't guaranteed to be the fly leg on the 4x1 medley. We'll see. Not now.
Before this race he was, but now Jacob Peters is slowly edging his name into the ring slightly.
Well, this is where Europeans actually now become slightly important. We were saying with 100 backstrokes of men and women, maybe the 100 fly is one of those events as well.
Quite possibly.
We shall see.
Quite possibly. And then we finished day four with another brilliant, brilliant race. The women's 200 metres IM, Alicia Wilson pushed Abby Wood all the way, kind of out of nowhere. But if anyone listened to the Pool Boy preview podcast, they will know that Alicia Wilson was a name that they had their eye on. And in turn, so did we because of that.
Yep.
And she certainly lived up to her pre-race billing.
Yeah, so anyone who doesn't know Alicia Wilson, she swims for Cal, I believe, out in America.
Mm.
Has been racing in the NCAAs, which of course is just all about winning, all about racing. I have no idea how many times she's raced this year, but she put on a bit of a performance here. She set a 2 second PB or 1.5 second PB to go under that Olympic consideration time. And Abby Wood has to be, Abby Wood kind of goes unnoticed a little bit because of she's just up there with the very best, and we kind of expect it from her now. She's
already
one of those swimmers, a bit like Harriet Jones. Every time she gets in the water, she PBs. I don't know what time she's going to end up going by the time Tohoku comes around, but it's in good shape anyway.
Yeah, very much was the competitive nature of this race and how Alicia Wilson did that it completely slipped by that Abby Wood hit a new PB, really.
Yeah.
And like you said, it's the expectation. Suddenly in the last 6 months, I don't want to put any extra pressure on her, but she is the leading light of British female swimming right now.
Has to be. I mean, it used to be, I say used to be, it, well, it kind of still is, Freya Anderson. She's the biggest name, I suppose, but Abby Wood is just doing better right now in her events. I mean, she's doing fantastically well. Let's see. I assume, as far as I know, they're all racing at Europeans, and so let's see how they're progressing in the next week or so.
Mm. And then the last day, we made it, everyone. Thank you if you stuck with us through this event-by-event review. The men's 1500 freestyle. Dan Jervis finally got on the plane. It was a great swim. Great swim, because he was by himself through the whole race. He had to pace it perfectly to get on that plane, and you could see how much it meant to him afterwards.
Yeah, I mean, we were kind of watching it in the first 400, maybe 500 meters. Toby Robinson was actually keeping up with him. I thought he's doing the right thing here, trying to stay on his ankles. But in the end, the talent of Dan Jervis came through, and he was just holding perfectly pace all the way through. I was trying to keep up with each 100, and he was comfortably under the consideration time in the end by 4 seconds or so. Richly deserved. I mean, he was so unfortunate in the 400 and the 800, like we said earlier. Richly deserved, and so happy for him.
Mm.
I think he did an interview with BBC Sport, didn't he? Where he was the first Olympian from his village or his town or wherever he's from. So obviously he's really happy for him. He deserves it so much.
Then the women's 1500, the consideration time was completely out of the question. It's 40 seconds faster than these girls swam. But nevertheless, what a battle it was. It was
I know.
Actually one of the most exciting 1500s I've ever seen. And I'm a sprinter.
Yeah, you don't like 1500s. I know you just wanted to get those races out of the way, but actually, this was a great head-to-head race. And of course, it was the Iron Woman, Lucy Charles Barkley, who nearly pulled off a memorable upset over Leah Crisp, and it came down to the wire. In the end, they were separated by 0.17.
Yeah,
over the course of a 1500.
That's a closer margin than the men's 50 freestyle. So. On paper, that was a much more exciting race.
Yeah, I mean, it does make you think that, obviously, Lucy doesn't just concentrate on swimming. She has to think about the running and the cycling as well. So she's a fantastic swimmer. And,
an amazing athlete. I was saying during the live stream, I kind of wished there was a few more kind of cross-sport exposures. I'd love to see maybe the Brownlee brothers doing a 1500 meters or something like that. Because
we were talking about Hector Pardo as well, who of course concentrates on the 10K open water. I reckon he could knock out a good 1500 free. And maybe more cross promotion, stuff like that would be quite beneficial to both sports, I suspect.
Mm, it was really, really good to see.
Mm, yeah.
So then we had the women's 100 meters breaststroke, and we billed this as one of the races of the meet. It didn't disappoint. It almost was a blanket finish throughout. Sarah Vasey was the one who pulled away. I thought she would have slightly more competition. She actually made it look fairly comfortable in the end. And like we said at the start of this podcast, she almost broke the British record.
Now, we didn't know about that. I mean, we were sort of so oblivious. We were so concentrating so much on the Olympic consideration time that we kind of completely forgot about the British record. And she was so close. She basically almost near enough equaled it. She was 0.03 off, which just proves how good a swim that was. And we were talking about it because she was in the hotel for 5 days. So she was racing on the last day. But of course, as COVID measures, she has to be there on the first day. So I've no idea what she did for the first 4 days, just twiddling thumbs in a hotel. And the same goes for Imogen Clark. But I think it affected Imogen Clark more than Sarah Vasey. Mm. Just a fantastic swim. And of course, Molly Renshaw joined Sarah going under the Olympic consideration time. So it's just tops off Molly's amazing meets, and Sarah Vasey richly deserves going under the consideration time as well.
Yeah, two more names on the plane. Although Molly was obviously already in it, it's good to see both spots filled in this race already come April.
Yeah.
Now, the men's 200 metres backstroke followed this. Luke Greenbank is obviously pre-selected for Tokyo, and selectors now are saying thank God. They really are.
It's a difficult one because, of course, the injury to Luke's ankle was bad, like we said earlier. He did so well to go 156.7, quite frankly, with one ankle. Like you mentioned it or noticed it, that the push-offs off the wall weren't quite as springy, as powerful.
Everything else looked good. Because of the ankle. Everything else looked good. His kick on the backstroke looked good. His stroke looked good. It was literally just the push-off on the turns. The start was okay as well. It was just the turns where he looked like he was lacking a little bit of power. But that had come back.
Yeah.
And it shows in the time he did compared to the British record, like 4 weeks ago up in Manchester, just how important turns are to a backstroke race.
Yeah, I mean, I can't fault his underwater work. Like I said, in the Manchester meets, his underwater work was phenomenal. Just lacking the power off the wall. I don't know if he wanted to push it that too much. You don't want to make it worse. A sprain is bad enough. You don't want to turn it into a tear or anything like that.
Yeah, he's just got to concentrate on the rehab now, hasn't he? Rather than worry about the time.
Much.
Luckily, his World Championships performance in 2019 got him that spot. And this is exactly what that was for. Situations like this.
And because of that injury, we took our focus off Luke and we were concentrating more on Brody Williams because we thought this was his event.
Yeah,
this could be the point where we kind of both agreed that this could be the race where he was going to go under the Olympic consideration time. Unfortunately, didn't turn up. I don't know. But he did, obviously, he's got the Olympic consideration time in a 400 IM, so he's should still be going on a plane.
Yeah,
I kind of expected more. Don't know.
I think that 400 IM took a lot out of him. I know he didn't get interviewed afterwards because he had his head in the toilet. So it took a lot out of him. And I just wonder if it was almost one race too far. He had a very, very busy meet.
He did. He was really struggling that last 50 metres. So it could be to do with fatigue.
And obviously all of the swimmers still going. Obviously all of the swimmers had to deal with being in just a hotel room. And then we kind of drew day five to a close with, obviously we had the women's 50 meters freestyle. We spoke about it in the preview podcast. The 50 freestyle times are really hard to hit this time of year. Anna Hopkins just missed it. We won't dawdle on it too much, but I expect her to hit that at a mare nostrum. She's already selected in the 100. Just let her race the 50. Simple as.
Yep.
And then we finished with the men's 200 meters freestyle, which I'm not sure I need to say too much. Just wow. Everyone who has not seen it, watch it now. Please pause this podcast, go search for it, and go watch it. Because that's going to take some beating as being the best ever British race.
It has to be. I can't think of another one where it was so competitive. I mean, just to put it into perspective, to make the final, you had to go under 1:48.
Crazy.
Which is staggering. Absolutely staggering. I mean, the swimmers that missed out were Jacob Whittle, Mark Saranek, Jacob Goodman, and Kieran Bird, who was obviously having the meat of his life. All of them went 1:49, which I thought beforehand, 1:49 was probably, it's on the fence, you might make it, you might not. In the end, no. If you did a 1:48, you didn't even make it. Just awesome swim.
You say that.
Just an awesome race.
What was it? Seven swimmers in the morning's heats went under a 1:47.2, and five of them had already hit the consideration time that morning under a 1:47. So the gauntlet was really laid down early for some fast times. They all obviously knew it was going to take something ridiculously fast to make this final. Then come the final, we have two 44s. 44s, Dan. Two guys who had gone under the previous British record. How good.
On the live stream, I had to repeat those times to you. Like, these times are, I always remember, because Ian Thorpe was the role model for my swimming, and he always said to do a good 200, you've got to go out in a 50 point something, like a 50.5 or something like that. Both those boys went out in a 50.2. And you think, oh my word, something special is about to happen here because these guys went out so quickly. Duncan Scott looked like he paid for it more at the end. I mean, he was blowing at the end. Tom Dean was coming back at him, but not quite enough in the end. He needed an extra maybe 2 meters and Tom Dean would have got him in the end. But just a fantastic swim. Like Scott says, pause this now, go and watch that race, because that you won't get better than that in this country. Just awesome. And then of course Matt Richards, 18-year-old, like we said before, 1:45.77. As now, far as I know, I need to be corrected on this if I'm wrong, but I think that's the fastest 18-year-old to do 200 meters, as far as I know. I don't know if that's true or not, but
I've searched it. I'm pretty sure that's a world record for juniors. It's nuts. Yeah, I mean, it's nuts. The men's 4x200 meters freestyle team now is comfortable favorite for Tokyo at this point.
I would have thought so.
Comfortable. Obviously, America always pulls something out. The Russians look good. The Australians will pull something out. But this team, this is fast. The fourth fastest swimmer is Jimmy Guy, who has gone a 1:45 before. Imagine four guys going below 1:46. That is nuts.
I mean, if we do that, I think we've won it. I think we're definitely favourites. Definitely favourites. I think Jimmy Guy actually had a really good swim. He went 1:45 in 2015 when he won the Worlds and hasn't really kind of got near that since. So to actually go near that time 5-6 years later is a fantastic testament to him and his training and et cetera, et cetera. Matt Richards, like I said, I mean, he's been concentrating on the back end of his races, not just the 100 and the 200, but the 200 as well. I mean, we can go on about it all day because, of course, 200 was my race. I can literally waffle on for ages, but just awesome. The 4x2 has to be. We're gonna win gold. I'm just gonna say it. We're gonna win gold. Just amazing.
It was an amazing way to end what was a brilliant, brilliant meet of British swimming. That's the races covered, Dan. We've gone through each and every single one of them. We loved watching each and every single one of them. I'd do it again. Do it again next week if I could. Cover every single meet, every single race like we did. It was brilliant. But there is an outcome from all of this. And that's an Olympic team. which we have selected, haven't we?
We've tried to pick, because of course there's 35 places. And if you take a look at the swimmers we took to Rio, we took 26 swimmers. Now, it's going to be more than that because 28 of them have gone under the Olympic consideration time. Mm-hmm. So we're going to be better than what we are in Rio in terms of representation. And the team that we've kind of created, if you like, we've picked 30 swimmers.
At this point, it could grow. At this it point. Could grow.
Yeah, yep.
So
there's
I believe
13 women and 17 men in total, what we've got.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. The ones that didn't hit consideration times, but we picked them. So obviously 28 hit consideration times.
Laura Stevens was one.
So I think we actually picked three. So because there were three under the consideration time in the 100 back, we only picked two of them, which makes there was 27 swimmers who were automatically picked. We've obviously picked them all. And the three extra ones, I believe, were Holly Hibbert, Laura Stevens, and Jacob Whittle.
Callum Jarvis as well, but he actually went under
he went under the consideration for the 200 free.
Yeah.
So I've picked, so we put him as part of the 4x2 relay. So if we go through the squad as a whole, on the women's side, we have Abby Wood, Amy Wilmot, Alicia Wilson, Alice Thomas, Anna Hopkin, Cassie Wilde, Freya Anderson, Harriet Jones, Holly Hibbert, Kathleen Dawson, Laura Stevens, Molly Renshaw, and Sarah Vasey. 13 girls. There might be more to come if they decide to take the two relays. The 4x2 freestyle and the 4x1 freestyle. I think they're both still up in the air.
I mean, if they do, I then think Lucy Hope then makes the team because she actually swam really well, maybe just outside the consideration times. But if they do take relays, then Lucy Hope goes as well.
And then potentially maybe Tamarin Van Selm, who had a good meet, but she's a young swimmer right now from Millfield. There's a lot more to come from her, I would have thought.
I would have thought so, yeah. It just depends what British Swimming decide to do. I like the idea of taking relays, but realistically, they're not going to be a medal threat, unfortunately. So they could make a final, but then we might come seventh in the final. So it just depends whether it's worth taking them or not. Shame if they don't, but I can completely understand why they wouldn't.
Then on the men's side, we have 17 picks. Obviously, that's a little bit more than the women's side, purely because of the relays. So you've got Adam Peaty, Ben Proud, Brody Williams, Callum Jarvis, Dan Jervis, Duncan Scott, Jacob Peters, Jacob Whittle, James Guy, James Wilby, Joe Litchfield, Kieran Bird, Luke Greenbank, Matt Richards, Max Litchfield, Ross Murdoch, and Tom Dean. I'd put a good amount of money on pretty much the team we've picked going. I think Jacob Whittle slightly up in the air, as with Holly Hibbert, but I think we both really want them to go.
For the experience, most definitely.
Yes.
Laura Stevens didn't get the consideration time, but I think she will do when Europeans comes round. Holly Hibbert, I'd like to see Holly Hibbert go for the 400. I think she might make it when the Europeans come round. Mm. And then Jacob Whittle, I just think we take him for experience.
16-year-old, yeah.
Yeah, just put him on the heat swim. I mean, if he does a blinding heat swim and actually goes quicker than some of the other boys that should be in that final team, then you put him in the final team. Who knows? I mean, you just don't know from him because he's PBing every time he gets in the water and he's a superstar in the making. He really is. I just take him for the experience. I really do.
So there we go. That is British Trials covered in a very large nutshell.
Yeah.
What a week of racing. And Tokyo's looking good, Dan. It's looking so good. I cannot wait to preview it.
Honestly, I mean, like I said, we've got 10 events that we could win a medal in potentially, which is, I can't remember the last time we're so deep. Our squad is so deep. I just can't wait for it. I mean, Tokyo's going to come around so quickly. It's so exciting that we might actually be guaranteed. We might even be second in the medal table. You never know behind America.
Well, steady on.
Don't know. We'll see.
Dan's getting very excited, which means this is a very good point to leave the podcast before he makes some wild predictions. Thank you so much for joining us this week, and thank you if you joined us in any of our live stream or coverage of the British Trials over the last week, 2 weeks. We've absolutely loved doing it. We are going to do it again in the future for any British racing that's happening on this soil, as long as it works with our work schedules. But for this week's show, I think that just about rounds it up. We're hopeful of getting some guests on in the near future. But all that's left to say from myself is please subscribe to the Propulsion Swimming podcast if you haven't already on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, anywhere you get your podcasts, you'll find us. And from me, Scott, I will see you in 7 days.
And from me, I'll catch you on the next one.
You've been listening to the Propulsion Swimming podcast with Scott and Dan. We want to thank you for joining us and invite you to subscribe to the show, as well as checking out the Propulsion Swimming YouTube channel for weekly tutorials and videos to get your swimming fix. We will be back next week. Until then, we'll catch you on the next one.